The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and every place he intended to visit. And he said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers. Go on your way, but I warn you, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will indeed rest on him. But if not, it will still return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink whatever the people offer you, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not move about from one place to another. In whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat whatever is set before you. Cure the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I'm just going to say a few hopefully helpful words about each of these three readings so we can have time to celebrate our nice baptism. First of all, we have the conclusion of two of the books of the Bible. The first reading is the last chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And if you were listening closely, you perhaps noticed that all of the images were maternal and feminine, leading many people to think that Isaiah, at least this part of Isaiah, was written by a woman, not by a man. Because all of the images of God are of God as a woman. Now, someone reported me to the bishop last week because I said that God was feminine. And I said, well, people say God is masculine. No one's upset at that. God is neither masculine nor feminine. But we need both images to understand the fullness of the mystery. And here Isaiah uses maybe what for some of you were shocking images. You will suck fully at the milk of God's comfort. You will nurse with delight at God's abundant breasts. As nurslings, you will be carried in his arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Now, anyone who's had a loving mother, I would think, after hearing that passage, would feel very safe with God and feel very held with God. And so don't believe people who tell you that God is masculine, right? God is beyond gender, and it takes every possible metaphor we can imagine to understand the fullness of God's love. And today, thank God, we have some beautiful maternal and feminine images. Then the second reading is the last paragraph of Paul's letter to the Galatians. And he says something that, you know, would be shocking if I transfer it to our level of thinking, especially when we're going to baptize a little baby. He says, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or whether you're not circumcised. All that matters is, do you become a new creation? Now remember, circumcision in Judaism was like baptism in Christianity. It was the absolutely necessary initiation rite. And he says, you know what? Really doesn't matter. All that matters is, do you change? Do you become a new creation? Do you become a new kind of human being? Brothers and sisters, we've baptized millions of people, and their life has made no difference for the world whatsoever. They've remained selfish. They've remained totally lost in their own little world and have not joined that larger community of the common good. In a few moments, when we baptize Sophia Rose, her parents will come up and her godparents. And that was our way of saying it takes more than two to raise a child. As Hillary Clinton said, it takes a village, it takes a community, it takes a family. And can you imagine, I'm sure some of you can or can't, the burden it is today on so many single parents, especially single mothers, who have not even no partner but no family and have to do the entire work themselves. That's where we can show whether we have this new creation. Perhaps those are the lives where we can serve, where we can help, where we can offer assistance. And then in the gospel, which perhaps strikes you as quaint or unusual, he's sending out the 72, so this isn't the 12, this is the larger group, the disciples, in other words, you, everybody. And he sends them out in pairs. Again, this journey we're on, sending us out as sheep among wolves, is pretty hard to do alone. Most all of us need a partner, at least one. Someone who can tell us we're not crazy. Someone who can love us when we cannot love ourselves. And then he gives a set of metaphors that very few people took literally. Francis did. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Into whatever house you enter, say peace to this house. Francis took that literally. He thought whatever the gospel said he should do. Now you've seen us Franciscans walk around with this little rope around our waist. I'm sure that looks very quaint too. But you know why he wore that? Because in 13th century Italy, a belt was where you kept your money. A belt was a wallet. And he wanted to show he was following this gospel and he didn't have any money on him. So he wore a rope instead. That's where all this came from. Sort of just interesting now. I'm sorry to say, I bet I have some money. I don't think on me right now, but I could get it if I wanted to. So I'm not so much like St. Francis. And most of us concluded that, well, this gospel is far too idealistic. It asks too much of us. But what, of course, the point is that we should live a life that is a little more vulnerable, a little more accessible, a little less defended. In other words, note what he's not saying. He's not telling them, I'm afraid, like we've done here, to build an institution and tell the people to come to you. It's saying you go out to them and enter their world and their houses on their terms and eat whatever they set before you. Can you imagine how different history could have been? Even here in New Mexico, when we Franciscans were the first ones to come. But in fact, we entered the Pueblo world and we pretty much told them to come to us. We didn't know how to enter into their world and become servants and sympathetic people who understood their culture, their language, and their religion. And now, of course, we pay the price for it, don't we? So Jesus was right from the very beginning. And what seemed like maybe pious, quaint, impossible words, or even dangerous words, in all three of these readings, might well be a very different recipe for life.